Good morning. Trust everybody had a good night's rest. Ready for another day? Amen. Well, let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for your mercy this morning. It says your mercies are new every morning. Lord, we want to appropriate, we want to invoke that mercy into our lives, O God. Lord, we just want to commit this day into your hand, the proceeding as we embark here this morning. Lord, we just pray for the wisdom, understanding, most importantly, the unction, the anointing, to flow here in the midst of this, thy people. Lord, we just want to invoke the blood of Jesus upon our houses, our homes, our families, O God, those that are present, and Lord, those that are in other places, Lord, we want to invoke the blood of Jesus to work, Lord God, salvation, work intervention, work your deliverance. Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus. We commit this meeting this morning into your hand. We ask for your anointing in the song, in the musician, in the congregation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is a song that the brethren taught us in Uganda when we were there a month ago. It's just very simple. It goes, can you give me the... Only you, Jesus, only you. 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 Gathered here, Lord God. You are the purpose. You are the life. You are the reason. Lord, help us to focus our minds fully and truly and only and fully upon you. Help us, Lord God, to open our hearts only to you, to receive from your throne every word you say. God, open our minds to heights we have never reached. Open our understanding, Lord God, and help us to receive the word and bring forth fruit. In the name of Jesus, I pray for this day. I pray for this meeting. I pray for every soul that entered this house. Let us receive that blessing, Lord, that can only come from you under the anointing of the Spirit. God, we put our minds under subjection to your Holy Spirit only and only. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. That is a very good song. I like this song a lot because, you know, David was the king. And David is the author of the song. And he puts together the first part of the song. And then it might sound like he's talking about himself because he is a king who would enter a city and they would open the gates. But he said, no, don't be mistaken. You know, who is the king we are talking here about? Is the Lord God. He would always defer all the glory to the real king. Even though he was a king with a small k, if you want. But he would defer to the true king. And shall we do the same this morning?
Yeah.
I was very pleased and encouraged seeing the young people kind of enthusiastic and digging the scriptures and sharing like before an exam. You know how you go to school and the kids have open textbooks and they say, how did you resolve this one? And, you know, looking over the shoulder of each other. And praise the Lord. It's encouraging, isn't it? It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
But let's defer to the king because that's the reason we are here. And so shall we get into it? Let me pray. Father, you're the king. Father, you are the reason why we are here, why we have gathered here. You are the reason for our lives. And I know we are touching and about to touch the things of yours. We do covet your presence, Lord. We covet your presence, and I know you're pleased whenever people gather in your name and they desire to know you better and know you more. So I pray that you would give us wisdom. Give us wisdom, Lord, that we know how to approach it. Forgive us where we don't hear you well and we don't know exactly the whereabouts. But I know you do. Give us liberty, Lord. Give us liberty that we would be able to flow. And that we would be able to connect to your mind and know you, understand you. And that in the Word we would get encouragement and strength and power and desire to go, hallelujah, beyond any religion, any concept. But we would come to know you, Father. And we do labor in vain if you don't come and don't build a house. So we pray that you would come and build a house. Help us to step aside and let you touch and flow and deal with every single heart that has gathered here. In the name of Jesus we do pray. Amen. Bless you. What we wanted to do, we wanted to gather the youngsters. I don't know what the age is. I would think like, is my Joshi a limit border, like 12 years old, or somewhere there, if somebody has a wisdom. So why don't you come, whoever is Joshi and older, come. And then I don't want to, Chris is younger or... Well, Chris, it's up to you and your parents if you want to, I don't know, maybe you could join too, why not? Well, again, I leave it to you and your parents' discretion, but why don't you come? Somebody please come, who is sure about his age. Whoever is Chris and Joshi, older than them, come here. No, come here, just come, physically come here, because we will split you into groups. And the upper limit, I don't know, I hope you'll forgive me, but some children already have children, you know, so do we want Abigail and Amy and other to come? Abigail, it's up to you if you want to join and still remember, you know, or if you want to stay behind. Is there another? Well, some people do have a children, but there is a limit. Okay. Why don't you sort out yourself in a way that it's from the oldest to the youngest? We go by age. We don't go by size because that sometimes is a little deceiving. Isaac would be twice the age of me. That's not Isaac. It's Isaiah, isn't it? That's worth of picture, isn't it? So, can you do count? One, two. Go ahead. Say one. To five. You have to speak up. So let's try again.
One, two, three, four, five.
Stop. And now you go five.
One.
Now you go five.
Again, five.
Four.
Four. Three. Two.
One.
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 Two. Three. Four.
Five.
One.
Five.
Oh, five.
Six. Four. Three. Two. One. Very well done. Yes.
So now do it again, and remember the number you have. Okay. Can you do it again? Speak up and remember the number you have. And that's your group.
One,
three, four, five,
five,
four, three, two,
one,
three, four, five, four, three, two.
Very good. So you remember your number and get together. Number ones and twos and threes and fours. Get chairs and sit around the table, please. Obviously, this is group number one, I can see.
I'd be happy to join all these kids.
I know, me too. Chris has just walked in, right? And you have no number, Chris? Joshua was... Huh? Joshua was first. Joshua was first who, you know, when he realized you are free, his hand went up fast enough. Find a table. What we are going to do, once you find table, I need you to find table, quiet down, and keep paying attention if you would. So as quickly as possible, find a table. Is it all the Esbels at one table? Where is it? Oh, three Esbos is fine. I thought it's only the Esbos. That wouldn't be right. And, all right, so... Every group has a table? Okay. Adults, keep at your chairs... But then, when all is done, it would be nice if you also find a table, adults, and you do the same. We will not be organizing you by age or anything, of course. But I, if I could, you know, I would definitely sit at the table and discuss with other four the same topics. Unless you're busy in the kitchen or something. But let's wait. Let's do it in a minute because I don't want to have too much commotion before we start. That we don't want to prolong it. So, and of course, mommies and they can take little kids and do something along these lines. We will put on the whiteboard three, you know, like thirds of the whiteboard for the three questions. You remember the questions? Can you remind me? The question number one is,
who are we?
What is it? Who are we? In a sense of what kind? Okay, very good. So what kind are we? Biblically, of course, that is. Number two?
Who are we in comparison to Jesus?
Okay, very good. So you take him as a benchmark and you see, you know, what is our doctrine? What do we believe? And number three was?
Do we live it? If you have the answer, why don't you live it? Or what is holding you back to live?
Okay, very good. So when we answer one and two, and if you find any discrepancy between what the Bible says and what your life says, what is holding you back? And speak biblically. It's not only you saying, well, because I'm lazy. But it's, you know, is it possible, in other words, is it possible to be perfect now, or do we have to die? Or what's our doctrine really? Amen? So what's holding us back? Let's give it some time. I'll be going around. I did ask Brother Mark, which I'm sure everybody discerns as a teacher. It's not only Czech thing, I hope. It's 11:11. Fantastic time, really. 1:11:11. So why don't we spend some time now? And as you have answer, we will prompt you to start putting the answers on the board with very key words and key scriptures. All right, and then we'll perhaps start commenting and discussing it. But let's give ourselves some time, at least a half hour, for you to discuss and start putting things on a whiteboard. And as I said, we'll be going around, so don't worry if you have a question or something not clear. Of course, it is advisable to use your mobiles in a sense of concordances and abilities to search Bibles. Anything that is not clear, you need instruction, clarification? Is it clear? So if I say go, you know what to do? Okay, very good. And it does the same. Now it's time to regroup and do the same thing. So you've got like a half hour to make up your minds. I hesitate to do that. I'm hesitating to call for your attention again. But I'm going to do that anyway. So if I can have your attention, friends, brethren, if I can have your attention, I know you are in discussions and digging deeper. Some groups kind of requested, can we get a couple more hours? Some groups said, well, we are done and would like to discuss, so to synchronize, why don't we have a break, because this is definitely going to last hours more, but why don't we have a break now, wherever you are, why don't we come back to our seats, if you don't mind, and if you do, forgive me, still come. I have overheard some discussions briefly, and I am so encouraged. You know, there's so much in you. You need to thank your parents or whoever is the one teaching you, because it's well done job. There's so many deeper stuff. That's very, very good. I'll start with I was just told that we can start with a very youngest. They've got a scripture they want to read for us. So, shall we start with them? You want to come in front and you've got a scripture to read, or what is it? Picture to show and scripture to read? Oh, wow.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Matthew 25:31-32. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left.
So if I understand correctly, we are sheep. So that's the question. That's the answer for question one. Who are you? We are sheep, and he's the shepherd. Did I get it right? By the way, I have read a recent study that they studied animals on the farm to find out which one is the smartest. And actually, sheep in that study was number one, because they compare their ability to recognize people, faces from different angles, as well as remember them, you know. And a sheep is much smarter than cows, dogs, horses, and everybody else. They, you know, look at the face, and they could, from different angles, recognize the face even after a long time. By the way, the sheep can recognize faces of other sheep, which is more intelligent than me. I can't do that, you know. And they remember them. So, if you're likened to sheep, don't get it as an offense. Okay, but let's go through this. We will need to, you know, you're not out of a hook by writing it down, because we will need you to explain us sometimes, because there's only scripture or short comments. So you will be coming, you know, here and explaining us. But if I take it one by one, who are we specifically? What kind are we? So, ideally, if you're handy, those who wrote it here, we are of the same kind as God. That's a too bold statement, isn't it? The same kind. Can you explain yourself? Whoever wrote it? You've got some scriptures there. So, who was the one? Christopher.
So we were talking about this, and the first scripture we were looking at was Genesis 26 and 27, where God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So yeah, it does sound like a bold statement to make. But then in Genesis chapter 1, verse 12, it said, verse 11 actually, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. The Bible says that we are made in the image of God. So, I don't know. Isn't it right to say that we are made as the same kind as God? I mean, what other kind would we be? So, that was... And then there was that other verse in Psalm 8:4. I'll just read that one real quick because I wrote it there. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And we were looking at the word angels, and it actually means God. A little lower than what? I'm sorry. And hast crowned him with glory and honor. I'd have to think about that one again. I forgot something. Do you remember what we had on that one? Do you remember what we said about that one?
Okay, then. Okay.
Sorry.
We need to understand it properly. So I'll be the one, the dumb one, okay? Asking the questions, not understanding it. I understand the first part. You say that we are created in the image of God. It's a strong statement. I take it. But to say that we are the same kind, you know, I can still be the one that I create something in my own image, you know, but it's not me. It's not the same kind, is it? If I make a picture which is an image of me, you know what I'm saying? It's a good start. It's a good thing. But being an image, it makes me think. But is it enough to say that we are the same kind with God? I need a little more than that. Yes, Ruby? You need to come up here, or someone needs to bring a mic or something, but you need to come up. Forgive me, don't get it wrong. I'll be like this all the time, okay?
We had the same scripture about little lower than the angels, and we talked about the same thing, it meaning Elohim, right? And it says we, in Genesis 1:26, the scripture Chris read, it says we are made in the image of God after his likeness. So we are not yet in the likeness of God. And like us being a little lower than the angels, which is Elohim, so we are a little lower than God. So we were made in his image after his likeness, but we are not yet in his likeness, which is why it says we are a little lower than Elohim, because we are attaining to the likeness, if that makes sense.
If I'm too much pain in the neck, stop me, okay? But the scripture which you quoted from the Psalm, it's speaking about Jesus Christ, isn't it? If you read it properly, no? He made him. Can you read it, the whole thing? Psalm 8:9. It's Psalm 8, isn't it? Psalm 8:9. What is it? 8:5? For thou hast... Yeah, here. So what is man that thou art mindful of him, and a son of man that thou visiteth him, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with the glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over thy work, over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Is it talking about Christ or us? Go to where?
Hebrews 2:7.
Oh, you're too clever. Hebrews 2:7. Oh, it says the same thing, isn't it? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with the glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with the glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That's a very good reference. Okay. For both he, 11, that sanctifieth, and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Uh-huh. All right, so let me just see how I understand it and tell me if I'm right. I'll come to 14 in a minute. So you're telling me that it's clearly said about Jesus, both in the Psalm and in Hebrews, right? But then, it's not only about Jesus. It's saying that we are of the same one. So we must be of the same kind, you're suggesting, right? Okay. And he calls us brethren. And if he calls us brothers and sisters, if I understand, you're suggesting we must be the same kind, because you don't have a brother with a goat or sheep. You know, it could be a friend of yours, but not your brother. Okay, very good. And what are you suggesting, Nancy, 14? 14. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Okay, so now, help me there. Are we lower than the angels? Is this scripture saying that in the creation God created angels and then he created Jesus and people lower than the angels?
Elohim.
You have to bring this proof, scriptures.
The word angels, like she was saying, the original Hebrew says Elohim.
Do we have a microphone?
Yeah, is there a microphone for people to run around? And I would prefer, at least always, to the youth to give the answer first. I know you're tempted because it's exciting, but let the youth answer first, if you don't mind. But again, I have... You are saying that it's Elohim in the Psalms, but in Hebrews it's clearly angel.
Yes.
So are we a little lower than the angels, or what are we talking about? Well, in the Greek it's angels. Made a little lower than the angels. Angelos, of course. Yeah, so... Are we lower than the angels? Or anybody can come? Yes.
Verse 16 in Hebrews 2 answers that question.
For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And you're saying?
I'm saying that he would be below the angels. It said he's a little lower than the angels in his form of his humanity. And so would we be also a little lower than the angels, because we're on the seed of Abraham.
What did I do just down here?
No.
That's fine. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, it kind of remains, doesn't it? I'm hesitating to give you, the answer. So I'd like you to look into it a little more. And actually, Hebrews is the answer. Hebrews 2nd chapter and around. A little hint there. Okay. Jesus was, as we are, in two different forms. Amen? He was in a form, he had a form, and he took a form. And definitely in one of the forms he was lower than angels because of something. So dig deeper into it. But all right, you're telling me that we are the same kind. So I'm giving you this question back. Do study and prove how it is with the angels. You know, are we above the angels, below the angels? Who are we? Because on one hand, it sounds like we are below the angels. And on the other hand, you say we are the same kind with God. So we have to resolve this one. Is this clear? Okay, good. So the question still remains there. And can I get more proof that we are... because it's a strong statement. Compared to other churches, if you go to other church and tell them we are like God, we are the same kind of God, you're out before you say goodbye. So I need to have more evidence. Please defend more, that we are Elohim. We are the same kind, please. And always I will... I see the adults like... They are excited and happy, but let's give a first choice to the youth, if you would. So any other scriptures, any other thoughts where you can prove clearly from the Bible we are the same kind with Elohim? So question two remains. Amen? I need more evidence. And it is in the Bible. Oh, maybe.
Psalms 82:6. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High.
Well, I'm afraid I have to yield here. Yeah. By the way... can you tell us what is the your gods, what is in Hebrew? I guess we know. Elohim. Amen. So it clearly says ye are gods, ye are Elohim, and ye are all children of the Almighty One. You can hardly argue with that. Is it written there? Oh, nice. So be bold and come and tell us. So as Psalm, where is it? I don't see it. Oh, we are God. I see Psalm 82:6. All right. So it's clear there. Do you have anything from the New Testament that would confirm it? Jesus quoted it. Very good. Can you find it for me, please? And by the way, when he quoted it, they wanted to stone him.
The Pharisees.
The Pharisees, that is. Anybody wants to find it?
John 10, 34.
Very good. Can you come and read it? John 10. Just come and read it, please.
John 10, 34. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods?" If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in the Father.
So if I read you correctly, what you say is that Jesus was referring to the scripture, because they were about to stone him, and he says, what have I done? And they said, no, you haven't done anything wrong, but because you say to be equal with God. That's the story, isn't it? They say, you are saying you are the same kind, you are son of God. And even the Pharisees, they couldn't get over it. It's not only the churches. Even then, they couldn't get over this idea, the same kind of with God. And he says, why are you, you know, you're like, you haven't read the Bible, haven't read the Torah. You know, it's clearly said, those that have received the word of God, he calls them Elohim. And the scripture, I'm just quoting the Bible again, and the scripture cannot be broken. You cannot twist it. You cannot ignore it. It's there. It can't be broken. And it's clearly there. He calls them Elohim, those who have received the word of God. So why it bothers you when I call myself, says Jesus, Son of God? I don't know what to say about it. I have to receive it. You know what I'm saying? This is clear evidence, so write it down. But now, I'm going to push you a little further, if I may. Why, and maybe you answer it in your next session, why is it said to those to whom the word of God has come? Because there is a key. All right? So I'm putting it on the shelf for you to answer that. Why is it those that have received the word of God, or that the word of God came to? In other words, some other kind can't receive it. There's a hint. The sub-question I see you're trying to answer is whether we are spirit, soul, or body. Can I have whoever put it down to come and explain and defend whatever we believe? Are we believing we are the body? Maybe not. Huh? So can I have whoever put it down to explain that, please?
If you go back into Genesis chapter 1, when you are talking about the creation of God, he sets down the principle of Cain. That's what he does in the previous things that he created. All the things he created as a particular kind, a particular thing. And when he came to man, he did a very peculiar thing. And Peter refers to it when he says, ye are a peculiar people. And that peculiarity is not meaning that you're strange or weird or you're something out of order, but it means that you are of a particular kind. And when the Elohim created man, he did something with man that he did not do with any other species that he created. It says that the Elohim breathed into the hunk of clay, and the man became a living soul. So when you're talking about kind and the procreation of it, God in his infinite godness imparted the aspect of who and what he was in the aspect of what it says he became a living soul, which makes him of that kind.
And the demonstration of that is that the seed of God was mixed with the seed of the woman to produce Jesus Christ. Produce after its kind.
Well, as Brother Bert was saying, that's the creation. When we're looking at, when we're answering the question of what kind are we have to understand who we are so we can differentiate the different types of kinds there are in, like, the animals there. So if you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we see the definition of what we are as humans. And this is the starting place of everything, well, of us anyway. It says, "And God formed man of the dust of the ground. And when he did that, that man was a corpse. There was nothing there. He had no, it was just dust, really." And then it says, "And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." And now it says, "God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." So God breathed something from his belly, from within him, into that hunk of clay, and it became a living soul. And we are living souls. So now we need to determine another scripture, what the two, what the other two areas of the parts of us are, because we are first soul, and then we use the body to relate to the earth, and we use the spirit to relate to the spirits. And if we go to, let's go to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. That also determines where the two parts of a of whole man came from. And it says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." So I could really say, really, that the fusion between the spirit of man and the soul of man, the spirit of God and the body, it formed that particular kind, that soul of man. You don't see that soul of man. And so if we can go to Ezekiel, I believe, chapter 1, we can identify what the soul is to determine who we really are, what kind we are. So this is like the thought process we were going through in our group. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Sort of.
No, you're making good sense.
Thank you.
Are you in Ezekiel 1:10? Is that what you
said? Yeah.
Can you read it?
Yeah, I'm good. okay. "And as for their appearances, they four had one likeness, as if a will had been in the midst of a will. When they went upon their four sides, they turned..." That's not what I want. 14. "And everyone had faces. The first face was the face of..." Ezekiel 10. What did I say? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, chapter 1.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four had the face of an eagle. So these are the characteristics of the soul. We haven't actually written it down there, but by definition of what kind we are, we want to determine what we are first before we can move on to, until we can actually specifically say what kind we are. So that's what I got so far. The spirit. What's your question? The bringing forth of the when God, okay, all right, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 then, chapter 2 verse 7. I'll try to explain it again properly. And God formed man out of the dust of the earth and the ground and breathed into the nostrils. So the spirit, the breath of God by itself didn't just create the soul. It's by the body and the soul that the body became a living soul. John, does that make sense now, or is it still a bit shaky? No. Okay. Well. No.
So, if we read correctly, let me rehearse it. You're suggesting that we have a body, and the body is a dust and go back to dust, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we are not a body because we have a body. Yeah. So if you see me, you see my body, you don't see me.
Yes.
I'm hiding behind the body somewhere there. All right.
But your body, but this body relates what the soul, what's inside the soul.
The body relates to what is inside of the soul.
The earth.
Okay, in other words, the body was created to be submitted to the soul.
Yes.
Okay. And you're saying we are not a spirit because spirit was given to us and every spirit of man goes back to God. So if we are spirit, we all go back to God, which we know is not the case, is it?
Yes, that's
ultimate. That would be ultimate reconciliation. You say, okay, whatever, good. So if we are soul, we are living soul based on the Genesis 2, for example. All right, Paul, you want to add something?
I want to ask, why is it important for us to believe or understand that we're not just spirit?
Say it again.
Why is it important for us to understand, made in the image of God, that we're not just spirit?
Okay. It's important to know that who we are, so we can then act. I don't know the question quite yet. Give me a bit of time.
You know, it's very healthy exercise. Because one thing is that you are hearing these things and you seem to understand, but when you are supposed to formulate it, when you're supposed to defend it for yourself and say it, you know, you have to kind of dig deeper and clarify in your mind, what do I really believe? Do I know why? So I expected it wouldn't be easy to, you know, you wouldn't come with the answer. So don't worry. You're doing a fantastic job so far. It's very good. And I'm not going to answer because that makes no sense. So you go back and answer the question, why is it important to understand that we are soul? What is so peculiar about soul that distinguishes us, or about our soul that distinguishes us from any other kind? Why is it important to know? Because it is extremely important. I'm sure Paul is asking for a reason. All right. So I think you answered very well. And it's clear that we are not spirit, we are not a body, we are soul, having a spirit and having a body. Are we happy with this? Because I am. All right. But still, two questions remain. One is, how is it with these angels, you know, in comparison? What's the difference between us and angels in creation, in the kind? That's the question remaining. You go back and answer this. And the second question is, why is it so crucial in understanding who we are that we are the soul? Okay, what is so peculiar about the soul? And if I can give you a tip or hint, go back to the idea of procreation. Okay, which is uniquely distinguishes us from anybody else, any other species. Any questions for the first part? Who are we? No? I would later elaborate. Oh, there is. Sorry. Well, yes, that's actually the same question about the soul, but thank you for reminding me. So the question is, why is it those that have received the word of God, why is it those that he called Elohim? Why he calls you Elohim, and how is it related to receiving the word of God? Amen? So are we done with the first part? In other words, we will be elaborating on this because this is, for me at least, when I was born again, I heard, you know, some basic Jesus loves me and salvation and all this. And very soon it stopped making sense in certain ways. It's like I reached, you know, limit. And I said, well, but that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. Why did God create us? What's the purpose? And only when I understood, you know, we are actually the same kind with God, it opens another dimension of my approach towards God, of my accessibility towards God. But we'll talk about it later. Okay, so that's very important. I'm suggesting, what's the time? What do we do with lunch? What is the time? What is the plan for lunch, time-wise? We can be ready. All right. My recommendation would be, should you choose to take it, would be let's break for lunch. And I would not dismiss after lunch necessarily, but we do need a break. Amen. So shall we continue a little bit after lunch in the groups, and then you prepare the rest for a while. Then we dismiss and meet for an evening meeting after meal. Shall we do that? Barak, I'm more looking at you or whoever else. Shall we do that? Okay. So in other words, let's have a lunch. Then go back. You can do it with the lunch on the table. Go back to your groups. Answer the first two questions. Elaborate on whatever else you wanted to elaborate. And we will continue with the questions in the evening session. Lord willing. But of course it's possible something else will step in and we'll carry on. We will be available during the lunch and after lunch to go around and help you. Okay? But stick together for lunch and after lunch. Amen? Somebody wants to come and bless the food? Please.
Lord, we thank you for the session we've had today. We thank you for the words we are hearing, we are formulating, Lord God. Lord, I pray your spirit remove within our hearts, within our minds. Lord, I pray you'll give us understanding, give us hearing ears. Lord God, we want to thank you for that time, Lord. I know you have more for us. Lord God, as we go and eat, I pray you bless the food, you bless the hands that prepared it. Lord God, we thank you. Amen.